because she had to go and preach in Kenai, because, and we're going to pray about this, because Brother Wicker's sister has a very poor medical report, and obviously very concerned. And so Brother and Sister Wicker flew down to Florida yesterday, and we got the request yesterday morning for someone to help with services. So we're thankful that Sister Donna is there. So why don't we pray first for Brother Wicker's sister, and do you recall her name? Okay. And then for Sister Donna to minister this morning in Kenai. And then for our lesson here today as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that we can look to you and call upon your great name. Thank you, Lord God, for the help that you're giving to the Wickers right now. Minister, Lord Jesus, I pray to their hearts with encouragement and with strength. Touch, Lord God, the one that is ill and not in good health. We pray, O God, that a prognosis would change because of your touch, because of your healing. Work a work, Lord God, according to your will. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the power that you reveal. Bring, I pray, everyone closer to you. O Lord, in your mighty name and by your great presence, move and work, we pray. Thank you, Lord God. Bless Sister Donna as she ministers today. Let your anointing be upon her in a powerful way. Bless, we ask, Lord. And we thank you for the goodness that you bestow, the abundance that you have for us. Bless our time together here in your word, and we thank you for it now in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, a very familiar story with David and Goliath, but hopefully we're going to be able to glean some things that are applicable to us here and now, because that's what our God does. He applies what was written for our benefit, for our edification, for our instruction, and he brings us into more powerful things. Does everyone have a booklet? Everyone got one? Okay. Anyone need one? Here's one. Okay. Let me get a couple. These are very unique because of, well, let's see, we've got a couple more probably, huh, that we need. Dole them out one at a time here, that'd be all right. These are beneficial because of the stories that are connected to the lesson. They don't necessarily go through the lesson, but they give devotional type insights to the lesson and connections with where we are today. So I think it's a good tool, a good thing to be able to use. The key verse, focus verses are follow from 1 Samuel 17. Again, very, very familiar passage with David stepping up and not running from the Philistine, but running to him. And that running to the battle instead of running from the battle is what happens when we put our trust in the Lord. Very common to run from. And I don't claim any great corner on courage or any of those kinds of things. But when we've faced battles and we relied upon the Lord, I'm thankful that there's the opportunity to see what God can do to see what the Lord's going to provide and how he's going to bless, because that's his promise. I will supply all your need according to riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Amen. That is pretty inclusive, and I'm thankful we can claim that promise for whatever. And I like the way that David lays claim to the name of the Lord. Amen. The name of the Lord. That reminded me of Psalm 20 and 7, where David said, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. And so that was something that he exercised right here in this story, and claiming the power, the protection, the presence of the name of the Lord. And that's how he was able to defeat the giant. And you got to remember now, the circumstances of this were ridiculous. If David was a typical Jewish young man, he wouldn't be anywhere near as tall as Aaron. He might be a little bit taller than me. Let's hope he was. You know, I think about 6'5 compared to 5'6. Now, the giant was taller than 6'5. He was 9 feet tall. He was as tall as that screen back there. And so that's pretty big. But if you inverse 5'6, which is what we'll imagine David to be, he's probably taller than that, but just for illustration purposes. Saul being 6'5 and saying, here, take my armor. And we know the story, and we'll get into it here eventually. But ridiculous, preposterous, whatever kind of word you want to use for how it is just not going to work. But yet, the hand of the Lord, praise God, and I'm thankful for it. Okay, here's the question that we start out with. Have you ever had to stand up to a bully? You had to stand up to a bully. And if you have, how did you find the courage to do it? Sister, maybe? All right. So in the spiritual aspect, again, claim the name. Praise God, the name of Jesus Christ, and that is power. And that's the way to go forward. Amen. Anybody else face up to a bully? Maybe in your childhood, maybe on the job, whatever it might be. Amen. Yes. Okay, what happened? Did you get beat up? Okay, so you negotiated and made it work out. Sure, that's a good way to work with it, and come out without having to, become violent. All right. Yeah, no, the respect that came because of standing your ground, yeah, that helps. Sister Belinda. Sure. I mean, I told it to Lord several times. Yeah, my father's like, that's what I'm doing. The cruelty of children is sometimes ignored, and that's not a good thing. They need to be taught, and Proverbs states that principle very strongly again and again. You have to teach children. You can't just let them grow up willy-nilly. You know, the idea, and there's a family down the road here, that they've been to our VBS, the Vacation Bible School, and I've contacted them, followed up, and the comment is, I'm going to let them decide for themselves. I'm going to wait till they get older. Well, the thing is, the devil doesn't wait. He's not sitting around twiddling his thumbs and saying, I'll deal with this situation when they get older. No, he jumps right on the child or the circumstance or whatever and starts to exert his influence. No, we can't wait. We don't wait for them to decide to brush their teeth. We don't wait for them to decide to take a bath. You know, that's something we enforce. Well, good to enforce the things of God as well. The bully that I had to deal with was the devil. And I think I may have told you, my wife was down in Oregon City helping her mom through knee replacement surgery, and I was home, and the devil showed up in my bedroom and just worked me over. I mean, it was awful. And it was accusations, and then the challenge to fix it. You need to fix these things. Well, my mistake was I agreed that I made those mistakes, that I made those missteps, that I said the wrong things or whatever. I agreed. And the scripture says, don't agree. 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, don't agree. And when the devil comes accusing you, don't agree, because those, if you've repented, if you confess those things to the Lord, you know, you claim 1 John 1 and 9, we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God he does that. And so it's gone. The Lord says he's not going to remember those things against you. So we have to remember to forget and make sure that we're having those things under the blood. Praise God. And make sure that you're not agreeing with what the devil's accusing you of. And that went on most of the night. If my wife had been there, I'd have woken her up and she'd have kicked him right out of there. Good confidence in her prayers. But I was there by myself, and it was a long night. But the Lord had mercy on me. Amen. And I was able to go forth knowing, you know, the Lord had forgiven, the Lord had provided, and the Lord had blessed. So I'm thankful for the goodness of God. There are a lot of David and Goliath situations that we recognize in the natural life. Some of you might remember Winter Olympics in 1980. U.S. hockey team against the worldwide power of Russia, and it was kind of a Cold War on display, and very much a David and Goliath thing, because the Russians were the best, by far the best in the world, and a young hockey team from the U.S. Worked hard, worked diligently. And it wasn't so much their skills, it wasn't so much their ability, it was their heart and their desire. And they ended up winning the game. And it was incredible. What a celebration. If you want a feel-good story, go online and try to find that report of the U.S. hockey team defeating the Russians in 1980. That was pretty amazing. Now, we look at Saul. Saul was the king. David came, and some mock him for bringing a charcuterie board out there to where the army was. Yeah, there was corn, and there was bread, and there was cheese. He comes marching up to his brothers. But he hears the challenge. Everybody heard the challenge. That yellow buck-toothed Philistine shouted it out twice a day for 40 days. And David saying, somebody go and fight with him. I'll go and fight with him. You know, he can't defy the armies of God like this. And here's Saul. Saul has been victorious. He defeated the Ammonites. He defeated the Philistines. Remember, Jonathan went up the mountain and said, if they say, come on up here, we'll go, because God has given them into our hands. And I like to think, if it was me, you know, given the sign that God's going to defeat them, that they're going to run and jump off the cliff. That's a good sign. God's going to give us the victory. But Jonathan said, if they invite us up to fight, we're going to go, because God has given them into our hands. And that was when the beginning of the rout of the Philistines took place. And Saul was king at that time. So he's got victories under his belt. And we know that things are going to fall apart eventually, but things have gone pretty well at this point. And why didn't he step forward? He was a big guy. The Bible says that he was head and shoulders above everybody else. That's why he stood out. And partially why he was selected as king, but he stood back. Well, David was not willing to stay back. He heard Goliath, and Goliath is recognized as a champion. He's a champion of the Philistines. No champion among the Israelites to step forward. And David definitely didn't qualify as a champion. He was a shepherd. He was someone who recognized the hand of the Lord was with him, and the blessings that were there. But champion? No, we better not send him out. Well, the Philistine made his challenge, and David made his reply. He said, you've come to kill me, but I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut your head off. Now, that sounds like quite a boast. That sounds like, and again, you've got to picture it. He's a young man. He's ruddy. He's youthful in appearance. And here's this nine-footer. With his armor, he's an impressive warrior, a champion to be sure. And the two coming together in combat, you could predict the outcome, and you wouldn't lay any bets on David. But his willingness to step forward. He told him, don't let any man's heart fail. That was what was happening. They're just about having heart failure from the fear that gripped them and the hesitancy. You going to go? No, are you going to go? No, not me. And that debate went around the camp for 40 days. And then David shows up, not a champion. In fact, his brothers belittle him and say, what are you doing here? Who did you leave those few sheep with in the wilderness? You know, as though to say, you don't have much responsibility. You don't know what it means to work hard and be a part of the army and so on. No. They felt like you shouldn't even be here at all. Well, thank God that David wasn't deterred by any of that. You recognize his motivation. It wasn't for his own glory. It wasn't for his name to be exalted. It wasn't for any kind of revenge on that man. He was incensed that Philistine would be mocking his God and making fun and calling out the army and all of this stuff. And that's what made him step forward. He can't talk about my God like that. And I think that's why the Lord backed him up as well. And so when it was made known that David was willing to go, Saul, of course, invites him into his tent and says, you're but a youth. You know, you recognize he's not a champion. And he's a man of war from his youth. Look at his experience. Look at his armor. Look at his ability. And look at you, David. But David said, no, I'm ready to go. And it wasn't the rewards that were being offered either. That was being talked about. The different things that would be given to the man who would go and challenge Goliath. That wasn't David's motivation. No, he was willing to wait on the Lord. And the armor, of course, again, use my example of 5:6 versus 6:5. Saul being 6:5, David being 5:6. The armor just didn't fit. Just not going to work. Probably looked even more ridiculous for the whole scheme of things to come off the way it was. And the weight that would keep him from being able to fulfill his responsibilities. I thought about Hebrews 12:1, to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher, and then to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. The devil is really good at what he does. He's been doing it for 6,000 years. He knows how to bring temptations. And so he knows where our weaknesses are. And he studies his enemy. That kind of a comical, satirical book that C.S. Lewis wrote, Screwtape Letters. And the one demon is training the intern on how to tempt and how to and so on. Probably more truth to that than poetry. Your enemy studies you and wants to find your weakness, and he'll exploit it as much as he can. That's why we examine ourselves, and Paul says, do that. Examine yourself. See whether you be in the faith. See where you are in your walk with God. And if there's something that is a weakness in your life, then ask the Lord to help you with it. You know, executives say don't try to fix your weaknesses. Work in the area of your strength. Okay, that's good as far as business goes, because you'll hire somebody who can balance your weakness. Okay, that works in the business world, right? I don't know how to do computers that well, so praise God, Brother Levi, he steps right in the gap, and that's good. But I can't ignore my weakness in the spiritual realm. I've got to make sure he's helping me. Amen. And thank God that he does, and he blesses and strengthens us so that we can move into the realm of victory and be lifted up. And definitely use the gift that God has given you. Don't put it on the shelf and, oh, look at that. Pretty good. Go ahead and use what God has given you as far as ability. And Romans 12 goes on and talks about areas of gifting. Brother Lamas sent that to me this morning. If you're a leader, use your leadership. If you're a giver, give generously. If you're this, if you're that, you know, do it for the Lord. And step into that realm of talent and gifting and use it for the glory of God. And thank the Lord that God is able to help us and move through us. But we take a look. What is easily besetting you? What is a weight that you're carrying around? You don't have to. Amen. Get rid of it. Okay, so Saul offers his armor. David says, not going to work. And he surrendered that armor back. David surrendered. I like that thought. Because it almost sounds like he surrendered before the battle. No, he's surrendering what he knows is not going to work. And he surrenders to the plan of God and steps out to do what God wants him to do. The army of Israel for 40 days have been hearing this challenge twice a day, and they're thinking someone else is going to do it. Someone else is more qualified. Someone else is going to step forward. And David wasn't satisfied with that someone else idea. He said, I'm going to step forward. And the Lord waits on us to do that. It's easy for us to pass the buck, so to speak, and to say, someone else will take care of that. They're more qualified than me. They're more able. They have the gifting and so on. But God can use you. Amen. The Lord can use you. And I'm thankful that that someone could be me. It can be you as God desires to use you. Praise God. And thank the Lord that I could be that someone that God has selected. And I've got to have the faith to be able to step forward. Now, hopefully it won't be as drastic as this situation. But even if it is, step forward and see what the Lord will do. And I think that's the attitude that David had. And you remember now that he had a resume that he was able to tell Saul, a lion and a bear came into my flocks, came into my camp. He's out in the wilderness by himself, and his responsibility is the flock. And that lion came and grabbed a lamb, and he said, I smote him. What'd you smite him with? Probably his staff, I don't know. But the lion rose up against him again, and he smote him again, took him by the beard. Oh my goodness, I can't imagine the bravery there. And the bear. I remember seeing a video of a man shooting a lion, and the lion went down. And he didn't crank another one in and hit him again. He watched. The lion got up. The lion charged. And he shot twice more. And you could see the dust coming up where the bullet has gone through the lion and hit the ground on the other side. But the lion keeps coming. And the man, you can hear it on the video, the man let out a scream. as the lion jumped at him and just fortunately just brushed him, because it was dead on its feet. It was already, you know, it was already gone, but it just, its instinct to attack was there, and and the lion goes flying by, and we shoot it again. David's saying, I'm going to cut off your head. That sounds kind of morbid, I guess, in some ways, but I think the message is, don't just stun your enemy. Don't just knock the devil down. Don't just be satisfied to be relieved from that attack. Finalize it. Cut it off. Get rid. Praise God. That's the way we've got to look at the situation. Okay, and back to the lion and the bear. Three times he mentions it to Saul. A lion and a bear. A lion and a bear. A lion and a bear. He's not trying to bolster his courage, although looking back on a victory does encourage you. He's trying to convince Saul, I know what danger is. I know what victory is. I know what it means to face something large and vicious. And I'm gonna win. Praise God. And I thought about David's mighty men and how they're able to step forward. You know, the 30 of them and so on, and Benaiah in particular. Remember Benaiah? He's the one that chased a lion in a pit on a snowy day. I mean, it just gets worse and worse as far as the circumstances in the world you're doing chasing a lion in the first place. And then you go down into his den, and it's snowy, it's slippery. You don't have good footing. You know, the advantage is he can follow the tracks, but he wasn't going to let up. And I think Benaiah could look at his leader, David, and say, he set the example. He defeated the lion twice. I'm going to get me this lion. Praise God. And he did. So the whole situation is coming out to the glory of God. That's got to be the key for the glory of God. And I'm thankful that that's how we can understand God's going to help us come out on top of the situation and see the blessing of the Lord come forth and how the Lord is able to use you. Praise God. You know, most of the time we focus on what we don't have and we back up or back away. I'm not going to challenge what I don't have the ability. I don't have the gifting. I don't have the eloquence. I don't have this. I don't have that. Focus on what you do have. See, that's when you emphasize your strength and not just look at your weakness. That's what God wants us to do. Look at what you can do. And David ran to the battle. Didn't run from him, which would be the natural thing, but he ran to Goliath. And we know the outcome there. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Praise God. And this day, the Lord's going to give you into my hands. We're going to settle it now. We're going to take care of it now. No sense in putting it off. No sense in saying, well, I've got this cheese and bread and corn and so on. We're going to have lunch. I'll get back to you. No, he knew. We're going to take care of it now. And that's the attitude to have when you're dealing with situations that are challenging to you. And there's a temptation to delay and so on. No, he says, the battle is the Lord's. Verse 47, the battle is the Lord's. He surrendered the situation to God. He knew he was not going to be able to take care of it on his own. And he gave the situation to the Lord. Remember in 2 Chronicles 20:15, they were facing not just one army, but three armies. And Jehoshaphat calls for prayer and fasting. The prophet steps forward and says, the battle is the Lord's. Yes. Praise God. And I'm thankful we can remind ourselves of that and trust that the Lord is going to be there to help us and strengthen us, because fear is a deadly, disabling problem. And it's constant. And the scripture says, fear hath torment. And it's hard to overcome. But we have to remember and we have to pray what the scriptures tell us. He's not given us a spirit of fear. Not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Praise God. And thank the Lord. 2 Timothy is 1 and 7 is a prayer that you could make again and again for victory in walking with the Lord. Praise God. So we got to hurry along. Here he goes. Five smooth stones. They weren't in the polisher. I've got my polisher going now. And those five smooth stones didn't come out of my polisher. It came out of the brook. Because he'd picked up stones before. He'd practiced many times out there by himself. See if he can hit that tree. It's only a few feet away. And that one's a little bit farther. That one's way out there. Now, Goliath has a big head. He's big-headed. You know, no telling how many, he's a champion, no telling how many victories he has under his belt. He's got a big head. And that was the weakness in his armor. Right in his big head. And down he goes. But again, it's not over. Because David said, I'm going to cut your head off. And that's what he did. And the giant, hearing that, probably looked to see, well, what do you got to cut with, little shrimp? You know, you don't have a sword, you don't have a blade, you don't have a knife, you don't have anything. How many of you mean you're going to cut my head off? But I imagine in my mind's eye, David picking up that sword. Two hands on it. Oh, that's pretty drastic. But that's what you got to do. Take care of it. Don't just knock it down. Don't just put it, aside. Kill it. Amen. Because it's going to get up and come back at you again if you don't take care of it. Praise God. And thank the Lord, there's the power that God gives us. And when they saw their champion was dead, what did they do? They ran. They ran. Because remember, the challenge was, send me a man. We're going to fight. If I kill him, you'll be our servants. If he kills me, we'll be your servants. Philistines knew that was the deal. Well, whether or not the Israelites agreed to it, I don't know. It didn't matter. They fled. They ran. And praise God that the scripture promises, resist the devil and he will flee. Praise God. And you resist the devil, not in your own power and ability, but because you've submitted to the Lord. Is that how James says it? Submit yourself to the Lord. He gives grace to the humble, and then resist him, and he will flee. Praise God. I'm thankful for that. Now, I read this morning, sometimes I should not read the news. Sometimes I should just ignore it because it gets discouraging. But this time, I read about what a pastor was thinking, and the acclaim that this pastor had in San Antonio. And I thought, oh, wow, I've got a lot of his books. He has written some good stuff, really encouraging stuff. And this time I'm reading an excerpt from a book that's coming out. And he tells about the stress. He tells about the situations that are going on in his staff. He tells about the success of the church. They built a new sanctuary, and it's already full, and just things going great. But the stress is just mounting and becoming problematic until he goes to a convenience store on the other side of town and buys a beer. And goes on the opposite side of the parking lot, and pops it open, and guzzles it down. And I thought, I know about stress. I know about, strain. I know what that feels like. But my word, I'm not going to go back to that garbage that the Lord rescued me from. Amen. I'm not going to. And what's even more distressing is this author, who I have dozens of his books, maybe about a dozen, says an occasional beer is okay. Not for me, it's not. I killed that. I killed that a long time ago. I cut its head off. And I'm not praying for a resurrection. I'm not allowing a resurrection. Praise God. And I'm thankful that I can't excuse an occasional whatever. An occasional click on the wrong site. An occasional puff on, you know the whole situation. No, I kill it. Praise God. And be blessed in the Lord and have that strength. Amen. And be blessed in it. Praise God, because good things come when you kill it. I think about Brother Becton. Brother Becton was the general secretary of the United Pentecostal Church for years and years and years. A very, very strong Christian, a gentleman, a statesman. I mean, just a great man. And he told about his son's goldfish being upside down in the bowl. And his son was so disappointed, so hurt. And Brother Becton came alongside, and, "Oh, I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry your goldfish is dead. And I've got an old eyeglass case. We're gonna put that goldfish in there. We're going to take it out in the backyard. We're going to dig a hole. We're going to bury it. And then we're going to go get some ice cream. And I'm sorry, son. That's just what happens sometimes to living things." And he's commiserating with his son there. And lo and behold, the goldfish flips upright. Starts swimming around in the bowl. And Brother Becton says, "Son, what are we going to do?" He said, "Kill it." He wanted that ice cream. Okay, here's my point. When you kill it, good things will come. Praise God. Because the Lord's going to honor that sacrifice. The Lord's going to honor your commitment. The Lord's going to honor those situations that you make and be blessed in it. Because David knew he wasn't great, but his God was great. David knew he wasn't strong, but his God was strong. David knew he didn't have the ability, but his God had the ability. And that's why he stepped forward. Praise God. And I'm thankful that's what we can keep doing. That's why the way we can keep going. Amen. And the blessings of the Lord. You know what I feel like here in the last minute or two? I want us to pray against some giants. Amen. Some giants. The Abbots are leaving tomorrow, going to family in Vermont, family that they prayed for years. And there's been some great victories, tremendous victories. But this is a giant that they're facing. And I want us to stand. And there are several things that we're going to focus on here, maybe go over time a little bit. But I want us to deal with some giants. Praise God. And just trust the Lord. It's going to take too long for us to go and lay hands on them. We're just going to pray together here right now that the abbots would have a good trip to Vermont. And when they witness, when they testify, when they share the word of God, that light is going to shine in the hearts and minds of their loved ones. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, O God, that you would help now, Lord, to slay this giant. Deal with this situation. Remove, God, the blindness that the enemy has brought. Let the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, shine into their hearts and their lives. Oh, Savior, work a mighty work now of redemption, of power, of goodness, and strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. I praise you, O God. I thank you, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' great name, praise God. In Jesus' great name, thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Amen, amen. Melissa is having surgery. And knee replacement surgery, as those of you who have had it know, it's not a picnic. We're going to pray for her. We're going to believe God to do a work. And we're going to pray October 2nd that the giant will be slain. Praise God. Amen. Some of you go ahead and lay hands on Melissa. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, O God, that you would manifest your power now for Melissa. I pray, O God, that your hand would touch her, that there would be strength, there would be healing, there would be blessing. All the other giants that she's fighting now, Lord, give her victory, give her power, give her blessing. Help her to slay those giants, Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ, work a work, God, we pray. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, praise God. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen, amen. If you have a giant, you don't have to name it, just raise your hand. You have a giant that you're fighting. You have a giant situation that you're dealing with. Yes, Dennis, amen. We want the hand of God. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and believe God. In the name of Jesus Christ, help Sister Char, Lord God. Help Dennis, Lord. Oh, let his heart be open. God, let his mind recognize what you have for him. Let his heart be hungry, Lord, and thirsty for the things of the Lord. Continue to touch his body. Continue to make him whole. Oh, Savior, work a work, we pray, God. All of the family, Lord, that once walked with you in the power of your Spirit, work in their lives, work in their hearts, work in a mighty way, God. Everybody, Lord Jesus, here that is fighting a giant, oh, Lord God, increase our faith. Help us to surrender to you. Help us, Lord God, and knock the giant down in your great name, Jesus Christ. And not just to knock him down, but to kill it, to end it, to execute it, so that it no longer is a problem in our lives. Oh, Savior, in your mighty name, work a great work now. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord. Praise God, praise God.